Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the U.S.? Well, it is, with over 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. Look, have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? I know, who needs woes and wasted weekends? Finding Fast Growing Trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure. It is a complete time saver. From fruit trees to houseplants, they've got it all, and it's delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And listeners to the President's Daily Brief can get an extra 15% off by using promo code PDB at checkout. Go to fastgrowingtrees.com and use promo code PDB at checkout. It's Friday, 5 April. Welcome to the PDB Afternoon Bulletin. I'm Mike Baker, your eyes and ears on the world stage. Let's get briefed. First, facing intense pressure from the Biden administration, Israel has agreed to open a new border crossing in northern Gaza to accelerate the delivery of humanitarian aid. They've also announced the firing of two military officers after determining that they made grave errors in the deadly strike on aid workers, as international fallout from the tragic incident continues to intensify. Also, the CIA has warned that an Iranian retaliation from the suspected Israeli airstrike on their consulate in Syria could be coming within the next 48 hours, as Israel temporarily closes 28 embassies around the world. But first, our afternoon spotlight. Under enormous international pressure, punctuated by wavering U.S. support, Israel is taking steps to significantly increase the flow of humanitarian aid to Gaza as their government announces the initial findings of their investigation into the deadly strike on aid workers on Monday. As we discussed earlier on the PDB, President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu had a tense 30-minute phone call on Thursday to discuss the fallout of the deadly strike, where Biden threatened to pull U.S. support for Israel's offensive in Gaza unless the government took concrete steps to protect civilians and aid workers and increase humanitarian deliveries into the enclave. It marked the first time that Biden has attempted to directly leverage the U.S.-Israel relationship to dictate Israel's wartime policies. Late Thursday evening, in the wake of the phone call, the Israeli government announced that they would open the Erez border crossing in northern Gaza, which was breached on October 7th by Hamas during their brutal attacks that started this conflict and has remained closed ever since. Israel also pledged to greatly increase the flow of aid resources into the devastated region, saying they will also use the port of Ashdod to direct aid into Gaza and increase deliveries coming from Jordan, according to a Reuters report. A statement from Netanyahu's office said the increased aid is, quote, necessary to ensure the continuation of the fighting and to achieve the goals of the war, end quote. It's unclear how quickly the northern crossing at Erez will be opened, but the White House is pushing for an accelerated timetable. A spokesperson for White House National Security Council said these steps were a welcome change, but added that the Biden administration would not be satisfied until they see the measures rapidly implemented. The official said, quote, as the president said today on the call, U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these and other steps, including steps to protect innocent civilians and the safety of aid workers, end quote. Israel also announced the preliminary findings of their inquiry into the deadly strike on vehicles belonging to the humanitarian organization World Central Kitchen, which killed 7 of the organization's members on Monday. On Friday, the Israeli military said they had dismissed 2 officers and formally reprimanded their senior commanders over the tragic incident, finding that serious errors and breaches of procedure were made. In a statement, the Israeli military said, quote, the strike on the aid vehicle is a grave mistake stemming from a serious failure due to a mistaken identification, errors in decision-making, and an attack contrary to the standard operating procedure, end quote. The government's inquiry determined that IDF forces operating a drone in the area had mistaken the humanitarian convoy for Hamas fighters. They had followed the convoy towards a logistics point late on Monday, where it offloaded supplies at a hangar. As the convoy left the hangar, they saw a man carrying a bag that they mistook to be a rifle. That, coupled with the fact that in the dark, drone operators could not see identifying logos that the trucks belonged to the World Central Kitchen, apparently caused the IDF soldiers to believe the convoy had been seized by Hamas. Israel said the IDF forces attempted to contact World Central Kitchen coordinators prior to striking the convoy, but were unsuccessful. Once they acted, the three vehicles were hit in quick succession. Officials with the World Central Kitchen responded to the findings on Friday with skepticism. They called on an independent commission to investigate the deadly strike, saying, quote, "The IDF cannot credibly investigate its own failure in Gaza," end quote. The group's CEO, Aaron Gore, added, quote, "Their apologies for the outrageous killing of our colleagues represent cold comfort. Israel needs to take concrete steps to assure the safety of humanitarian aid workers," end quote. I've spent a fair amount of time in hostile and challenging environments, and I've seen how things can get sideways very quickly. Now, both sides in this sad event, the IDF and WCK, need to be fully transparent in the aftermath regarding the exact movements, timing, and activities that were reportedly coordinated. In an active war zone, there can be no deviation from these coordinated movements, given the dangers inherent in operating in this type of environment. If WCK movements were coordinated with the IDF, there should have been no question as to where, when, and how the aid group's vehicles and personnel would be operating. If they were operating outside of those coordinated plans, that needs to be highlighted for the safety and security of other humanitarian groups and aid workers currently on the ground. In addition, aid groups need to be working in concert with and with guidance from experienced security personnel. These organizations have a responsibility to their staff and volunteers when in a hostile environment or war zone to provide security assistance and oversight. It's not enough to have a big heart and generous, kind spirit and be looking to do good. Now, I have no idea what security support the WCK is currently providing or has been providing to their personnel in Gaza. But all aid groups should have experienced personnel who coordinate route planning, vehicle and personnel movements, constant threat assessment support, and real-time liaison with, in this case, the IDF, as well as security personnel working with other aid groups. The protocol should be the security officer calls the shots. The aid workers don't move unless it's approved. Coming up after the break, we'll discuss a warning from the CIA that Iran could be preparing a retaliation over a strike on their consulate in Syria within the next 48 hours, as Israel temporarily closes 28 embassies around the world. I'll be right back. Mike Baker here. When I say the word preparedness, what do you think of? What? Preppers? Doomsday bunkers? Well, the reality is, being prepared for any number of problems or difficulties should be a concern for everyone. You're out hiking or you're camping and you become ill or get injured. The power maybe goes out, the roads are closed, and you've got a child or elderly person at home who gets sick and needs treatment. Or your college student is away at university and gets sick. Maybe you're on holiday somewhere exotic and fun, and your trip is suddenly threatened due to illness. Now, you see what I'm getting at. Being prepared for a medical emergency is just being smart. Introducing the Jase Case, Jase, J-A-S-E, your personalized emergency medication kit with 5 essential antibiotics addressing common and deadly bacterial infections. Doctor created and recommended, it ensures that you're ready for any emergency. And getting a Jase Case is simple. Look, I've done it, and seriously, it could not be any easier. It took no time at all, and the case arrived in days. Just fill out the online form at jasemedical.com. From online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery, ongoing consultation and care, Jase handles it all. Visit jasemedical.com and use code Mike, that's M-I-K-E, just like you probably thought, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your order. Again, that's jasemedical.com and use code Mike. Don't wait until it's too late.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and 2 children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Bulletin. The CIA has informed Israel that a retaliatory strike on their country by Iran is likely within the next 48 hours over a suspected Israeli drone strike on Monday that destroyed part of their consulate in Syria. The offensive airstrike killed several high-ranking Iranian officials, including General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, the commander of the IRGC's Quds Force for Lebanon and Syria. The fallout from Monday's strike has been swift, with Iranian leaders promising revenge against Israel, while also saying they hold the U.S. directly responsible. Expecting an imminent action from Iran, the CIA reportedly warned Israel on Thursday that the Islamic regime would likely respond within the next 48 hours. According to reports cited by Vox Media, Iran is planning a combined attack with drones and missiles on Israeli territory. However, these speculations have not been independently verified. Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, said Wednesday on X, quote, "With God's help, we will make the Zionists repent for their crime of aggression against the Iranian consulate in Damascus." Israel has been battening down the hatches in anticipation of Iran's retaliation, moving on Thursday to indefinitely halt leave for all combat units. They also drafted reservists to boost their aerial defenses and began scrambling GPS services across their major cities, guarding against the risk of guided missile attacks. As of Friday, Israel has withdrawn a number of its ambassadors and temporarily closed some 28 embassies around the world, fearing Iranian reprisals may target Israeli diplomatic facilities and officials. Some ambassadors have also reportedly asked not to appear at public events, fearing for their lives. While Iran has promised a robust retaliation, most analysts do not expect the Islamic regime to directly respond. Any retaliation will instead likely be carried out through their network of proxies, such as Hezbollah in Lebanon or the Houthis in Yemen. U.S. military leaders have also warned troops in the Middle East that they may be targeted once again by Iran and its proxies, given their rhetoric holding the U.S. responsible for Israel's airstrikes in Syria. As we've previously discussed, Monday's strike was a significant development for the region, given that diplomatic targets are usually avoided even during conflicts. Analysts have warned that the strike brings the world much closer to the possibility of a direct confrontation between Israel and Iran and a wider regional war. On that cheery note, we've wrapped up the PDB Afternoon Bulletin for Friday, 5 April. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me at pdb@thefirsttv.com. And be sure to check out our new premium membership at pdbpremium.com. If you like your news and analysis ad-free with a chaser of exclusive content, give the premium membership a go. I'm Mike Baker. I'll be back on Monday. Until then, stay informed, stay safe, stay cool.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.